D-Mace, Ving, and Adonic, final hour of the show today. Willie Adonic, Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingan on vacation. He'll be back with us on Monday. We are pleased to be joined by Joe Rexrode, Robbie and Rexrode in the mornings. Joe speaks all the languages. There's so many directions we could go with Joe with this interview. We're definitely going to hit on what's going on with Tennessee, but of course, I'm just looking at his page on The Athletic. We could talk about things that I know he's very passionate about, which I know Joe wants to. Well, I wasn't going to bring up the gout. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to bring him a 128-team NCAA tournament for basketball because I know that's what he thinks is best for the game. Just joking, obviously. I'm with you, Joe. I think keep it at 68.
I say you invite everybody, Joe. Do we have Joe?
Do we have Joe?
I thought I had him.
Or is the gout acting up?
He's on.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, Joe, you need to fix your phone, Joe.
I'm so sorry. I had myself muted.
Oh, my goodness,
come on, Joe.
Man.
That's usually a problem for me in the studio. And that's
I'm also happy to report, Joe, that none of your belongings appear to be in the studio today. So you didn't leave anything the last time you were here.
That's good. That's all right. Okay. I'm on a roll then.
You're on a roll. Let's hit you with the topics that we've hit on today, because I'd love to get your take. We were revisiting what we know about what the Titans passed on because they felt so strongly about Cam Ward. You know, just detailing what the Giants offered, what they could be sitting with, and we got a huge reaction from the audience. It was very mixed. Some were saying, and we tried not to make it about how he's done the last couple of days in practice, because to me that's not the issue. It's just sitting here on July 31st.
Right.
Do you still feel that they made the right decision? So how do you think about that when you look back on it?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not changing from and I'm with you. I think, you know, obviously, whatever, if you ask this question and he has like a great couple series in a preseason game, maybe that changes some answers, right? But I'm not any different for me. I just don't think that he's going to be a number one overall pick level quarterback in the NFL. And I'd love to be wrong, but based on, I mean, I've seen nothing that changes my mind. The only thing that's going to change your mind on that, or the other way around, if you do believe, I mean, to me, the only way anybody is going to have their mind changed is once we actually see him play in the NFL and to me, play for an extended time in the NFL. But based on that belief, I mean, I definitely think that they should have traded out of there and gone that route, you know, with building, you know, building, like you said, well, like getting those picks, getting in the opportunity to really load up. And, you know, look, if I also agree with anybody who says, well, if they have the conviction that that's who they think he's going to be, you don't have those opportunities any time, you know, this year they might end up picking 10th or whatever, right? So, I mean, like, I understand, like, the argument of, well, if you believe he's a guy, you have to take him at one. That's fine. I don't think he is. My mind has changed on him, my mind's not going to be changed on that. I think they should have traded down.
The other thing that I think we know a little bit more now than we did back then is there were some questions, legitimate questions, about Abdul Carter's health with the foot and the shoulder, and it appears to be a non-story, at least today.
You're right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, obviously, like the Giants were the, you know, the primary potential. I mean, it wasn't like there was, but from all accounts that we have, it's not like they were getting presented with these unbelievable, oh my God, I can't pass this up offer. That happens when the quarterback at the top of the draft is Cam Ward. It doesn't happen when it's Joe Burrow or,
correct,
you know, some of these. I mean, that's right. I mean, he is in this particular year the top quarterback, but not all top quarterbacks in every year are created equal. So, but that's, yeah, that's the thing too. It's like in some years you could get an outrageous haul for that pick, But also, in those years, unless you are great at quarterback and you're really happy with what you have there, like, the Titans in 2016. Titans in 2016, they thought they really had something with Marcus Mariota. There was no reason to dispute them at that point. He'd only played 1 year for a terrible team, but it looked promising. So, of course, they're going to trade out, and Goff was enough of a draw. I mean, Goff was a more coveted prospect then than Cam Ward was this year, right? So, sometimes it's a totally different haul that you're bringing back.
Speaking of 2016, John Robinson was on with Chase and Big Joe, an extended conversation, and he couldn't get into all the details, but they hit on all of the topics, right? And he referred to he would love to have mulligans, just like any GM would say. So I'll put it to you, Joe, if there was one mulligan that you could take if you were John Robinson and you could wave the magic wand and make something different, which one would it be? Because they hit on all of them, right? This guy made a lot of great decisions and won a lot of games while he was the GM. So with that in the context.
Yeah, I wish I could be like less obvious, but I think it's the AJ. Obviously, you have the three straight first round picks that are just completely fails. And yeah, first of all, I thought it was a great interview. I thought those guys did a really good job. It was awesome of him to hang for an hour. I listened a whole hour. It was really good for a guy who, look, we all know he signed an NDA, right? Mm-hmm. We all know he signed a non-disclosure agreement. We all know he's still getting paid by Amy Armstrong. So, like, there's just limitations to what he can say and stuff. But I thought he still was as revealing as you could hope. His answer on Caleb Farley to me, I was a little bit, it was like, he was talking about how it had the bad luck for Farley after drafting him. But it's like, well, I would go back at that one and say, man, there was a lot of red flags and some teams had him totally off their board. But to me, the mulligan is AJ Brown. And if you just don't do that, if you just, you make that work and you sign him, just like Mike Vrabel expected was going to happen. I think like they expected all through the process until it broke down at the end was going to happen. Well, that next team wins the division. Now, I could argue they probably win the division even if they don't fire John Robinson mid-season, right before the Jacksonville game. But either way, with A.J. Brown, I mean, I could make the case, guys, that just that move, even with the other things that have chipped away at this roster, I could argue that, like, Vrabel and Robinson might still be here if they just hadn't done the A.J. Brown trade. It's just so hard to know what other, you know, then you get into the butterfly effect of what other things do or don't happen off of that.
No, you're right, Joe. I mean, we can go back and we can play or do revisionist history, but one move affects another move. We can say, well, we'll take back the A.J. Brown move, but then how does that affect everything else, good or bad? Moving, past the if you don't make the trade for AJ. Now, looking at this team now, Joe, I'm sure you've been out there. What do you make of it? Because, you know, the first 2 days in pads, they were lackluster. The second day was better than the first day, but we still, you know, there were still the issues, whether it be seemed like the lack of energy or just the miscommunication with the quarterback and his receivers. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, I was out there the other day, and, you know, I mean, it was the Cam Ward especially rough day. Mm-hmm. Well, look, I defer to you I'm not going to lie and say that I thought there was – I was, like, alarmed or, like I was really struck by the lack of energy. But I defer to you, someone who has been out there, you know, for many years and knows how the predators go. I mean, I feel like the execution was lacking. I guess to me, when you talk about lack of energy, one thing I notice is like there's a lack of volume out there, and maybe that has nothing to do with energy. But mm-hmm. like in so many past years, Kerry Coombs was a guy who like you would always hear that voice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean Vrabel, you would always hear that voice. It does seem like this coaching staff is kind of quiet by comparison, so maybe that's part of it. But you know what? To your point, D-Mace, I mean. He just added a padded practice on Friday that was not previously on the schedule. So I'm thinking he might agree with you, right? Like, yep. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that he's going to be like, you know what? Let's add a day of full pads work if he was happy about everything that was going on out there. So, I guess I would say, along with the coaches, maybe sometimes you don't, you know, it just seems like kind of a more of a quiet coaching staff. You probably need some more guys, some more players to emerge and bring that energy. I mean, Paul Karski was on our show today, and he was like, you know, sometimes that energy is like when people make plays, right? Like a big play will get a practice going, and like they've just been so off the mark, and the defense has been winning handily. But also, you know, we know that Jeff Simmons is going to go out there, make plays, talk about it. Maybe they need some more guys to kind of find their voices out there too, and just even just not start fights, but like just get a little bit chippier out there.
Yeah, and that has not happened. And listen, it's not the end all be all. But when you're sitting out there in practice, and you've experienced it before, whether you've experienced the lulls in practice or you've experienced consistent high energy practice, I knew something. It just felt off. You know, the first day of practice with no pads felt off. There was no energy. It just seemed like there was not enough, you know. And like you said, it could be because of the lack of big plays. It probably is because yesterday, Mason Kinsey makes a nice catch in the end zone for a touchdown, a contested catch, and Mason Kinsey and a bunch go crazy. You may be right. They need more of that stuff to happen, but – I mean, you got to be able to have that even if that's not happening. Because to me, it happens because you have that energy. So you fall into plays, you make plays because one side seems to be more amped up than the other. But that's just my, you know, sort of synopsis of it in a sense. But the Will Levis thing, because we haven't had you on. I've listened to you talk about it. But this whole Will Levis thing, the shoulder injury, what do you make of it? Because to me, I'm not saying that he didn't need the surgery, but man, oh man, if you know your body well, you should want to do the surgery on the front end rather than wait until right before camp starts and then have the surgery. I know you're doing it because you want to be healthy, because you know that next year is your free agency year. Well, you won't be on this team next year, but that's a decision to me that should have been made a lot earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, and we're talking today about the picture he put out.
Well, let me say something, Joe. I can do the same thing with my shoulder that he did. I have that little thing protruding up out of my skin. You can see it a little bit under
see
my skin.
See it through your shirt. Yeah.
You know how many games I miss? Goodness. And I'm not a quarterback. I get it. I'm not a quarterback. But I think I missed a game. But I don't do what Will Levis does. You see what I'm saying?
But that's also because of an injury, right?
Yes, yes. I was injured.
You couldn't have done that. You couldn't have done that before the injury.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
So, like, Karski was on. Speaking of Karski, I hate to keep bringing him up, but he's on there telling us that he thought that Levis could do that anyway. And I'm like, I don't think he could, man. Like, I don't. But apparently last year at some point, talking to reporters, Levis did that, kind of showed it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but like to your point, it's like as soon as you have that injury, you can do that. But I'm with you. Like, I just – the timing of it, you know, it's just like if it's that real and that, like, I guess to me, like that obvious that you're going to need it, why not do it earlier? You know, like what is the – like, good for him for going out there and toughing it out and meeting with his QB coach, Jordan Palmer, and all these things. But it's like, it just seemed to me like it, in retrospect, it was inevitable. So why not? And also, I mean, you had to know if you're him, like, you're not going to have a legit chance to compete. You're not going to get, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe he thought he was. And then it kind of became reality to him, like, yeah, I mean, they're just all in on Cam Ward. But to me, it's like, as soon as that pick is made, you have to know you're an afterthought, right? Like, you might be the backup, you might be able to compete for that, but you're not legitimately competing to start there anymore. So yeah, like, to me, it's like have it right then. But I do feel like at least, like, even that picture to show the severity, at least the idea that. I think because some fans I heard were like, he wasn't even hurt. He was out throwing. He's fine. This is all BS. At least that's been kind of has kind of faded away, which is good because I think some of the conjecture about him was a little bit extreme.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic and, of course, co-host with Robbie Stanley, Robbie and Rexroad, every morning on our station here on 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, we kicked this around. We got a pretty good reaction. With Jeffrey Simmons changing agents, after this year, his contract will clearly need to be addressed in some way. The roster where it is. If a team offered the Titans a first-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons right now, would you do it or would you need more?
Man, that's a great question. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's a really good question. How bad is the team?
Well, that's a very important question, right? Because we hit this yesterday. If it were during the trade deadline that you addressed this, then you're probably dealing with teams that are probably not going to be picking very high. You're dealing with teams that are trying to load up for a run, correct? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be probably a bottom 15, bottom 16 pick. There's a big difference, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'd still think I'd really strongly consider it. It's funny, though. This week, I said this on our show the other day, the biggest thing, obviously, we talk about Cam, and Cam's the whole focus, but the biggest thing that struck me watching them the other day was Simmons and how much he slimmed down and how quick he looks to me and how quick his feet are. Like, he is, and if he really hasn't sacrificed much power while slimming down and gaining that little quicker first step, I do feel like he might be on his way to just a monster year. And, of course, that kind of times up with everything that, like you said, Willie, I mean, we're talking about a contract. We're talking about maybe he could be trade bait. So, let's say it does pay off in more sacks. I still say Jeffrey Simmons could be an all pro and have 5 sacks in a particular year at his position, you know?
Right.
But of course, if you get 10 as an interior, then that's another level still, right? So, I mean, if that's the case, you know, you could almost see where all of a sudden a first-round pick, is that enough? You know, I think with him, it's like, I just don't think he's been the same player since 2021. I think that the injury he played through in 2022, I think that's had a lasting effect. But this, I think, is the exact right move for his career. This is the move, is to try to be a slimmer, a little bit more of a pass rusher and see where that takes you. And he's still one heck of a football player. So I haven't given you an answer. I mean, I think I probably would because of the state I'm in, and I still look, you know, I still have to see him play like this in an NFL game and show that he's kind of back as a top player. I think I would probably take that pick just because the money, and also, you know, obviously he's not getting any younger. I think for this team where it is, still quite a ways away from being really good, I think I'd do it.
I'm curious to see if that becomes a national story because you know how when you change agents, there's a lot – if you start getting this out there across the league, because it hasn't been a story yet, right? That could create some buzz. If Jeffrey Simmons, of course, hasn't said one word about it to this point, but you know he didn't come to some of the voluntary workouts and he has slimmed down. I think he's got his eye on another contract, right? He wants to get one more big sum of guaranteed money.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I really do think, look, say what you want about Jeffrey Simmons. I know that at times he hasn't been a great leader. At times he's, you know, he gets too into the social media or gets too mad at
sensitive
media people.
Yeah,
but you know what? I have never had any question that this guy is about winning.
Agreed.
And I think he hates losing about as much as anybody. So I also, along with that new deal, you know, I can see in the back of his mind too, man, I need to get out of here and
I
get
to
a
win.
Place where I can
win
again.
That's a good point.
I want to win. Yeah.
All right, before we let you go, Joe, quick thought on what's happening with Boo Carter in Tennessee. You probably have looked into it a little deeper than D-Mace and I have. We can look at it from afar and say, you know, we've seen situations like this, but the inner workings of it seem a little complex here of how we got to this point.
Yeah, I'll say that not that long ago, I might have said, man, I don't think they're going to have him next year. and that would have been devastating to lose your quarterback and then to lose. He's one of their top. I think Robbie said the other day he's like one of their top three most talented players. You know, he's a guy who, and when you look at their issues at receiver, I still don't know if I buy that he's going to have this huge role on offense, but I do buy that they were serious about it because they need to come up with more playmakers. He's certainly a huge part of the defense. So right now, my take on that situation is they have dodged a huge issue. And there's some things that have at least some conversations, and he's back there. So that's great news for them. Now, will that continue? Obviously, he missed some stuff. There's different stories out there about why he missed stuff. Bottom line is, Heupel has made clear, like, he is involving the leadership committee. There's going to be some consequences. But the fact that he's in camp is a huge, huge deal. I mean, this team, again, already with the QB play, I'm looking at, like, 9-3 would be a great outcome. You take Boo Carter off the team, I know it's just one player, but, like, they just don't have that many playmakers. I mean, I could see that being another loss or two. So I think it's a great development. It's going to be really interesting to see if it's quiet now for the next couple of weeks and it's just like, okay, he's back. He's in the fold. He's doing all the stuff he needs to do. I think that's a big, big question and storyline as they move toward the season.
Joe, outstanding stuff. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us today and have a great weekend. And we'll be listening tomorrow.
All right, boys.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, boys.
Yeah. Joe Rexroad with The Athletic, despite the false start with the mute on the phone, got some good stuff out of that.
That's what he's known for, it's good to have that.
It would only be Joe.
It's just Joe being Joe.
That's all it is. Gotta love him. Gotta love him.
When we come back, we'll go back through some of this stuff, and we're going to hit some of the texts that we haven't gotten to today on where do you stand with the decision to draft Cam Ward, and are you having any second thoughts or buyer's remorse on not taking the package of picks from the Giants or anything else you want to weigh in on? Remember, our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Stay tuned. We're coming back.